You're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
Indeed you are, ladies and gentlemen, them, they, and all. Welcome to the Troy Murphy Show. I'm, of course, your host, Troy Murphy, and this, as the name suggests, is the Troy Murphy Show. Huge thank you to Jamie Sims for the first hour of Thursday Drive. I continue with the next hour, and then following me tonight, Lauren, the wonderful Lauren, with a league of her own as she talks women in sport. It's a jam-packed night of fun and entertainment. Of course, The Troy Murphy Show, a talk show here on Sutherland Shire Radio, where we like to have a little bit of fun. We like to talk about the crazy, zany things happening around the world and also put our serious hats on and talk about the issues that affect us all. It's really a mixed bag kind of show, we hope, with hopefully something for everyone. As today, the 10th day of the month of November, we celebrate World Top-Up Day. Yes, World Top-Up Day is a day designed to celebrate people who give top-ups. Now, originally, I assumed this meant the kind of people who topped up your drink, but instead, it's actually a day for the global expat community who get together and support one another. I personally prefer my idea better, especially when it comes to my glass of wine of an evening. It's also National Vanilla Cupcake Day. So for those who enjoy a vanilla cupcake, today was your day to celebrate. And it's also International Sesame Street Day. Yes, Sesame Street Day was first established in 2009 to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the show's original broadcast, which means in 2022, Sesame Street is in its 53rd season. That's a whole lot of generations growing up with a bunch of monsters and crazy characters on a street. And because, well, I guess we all grew up in the street, this week's top five countdown that we're going to do here on the Troy Murphy Show is the top five Sesame Street characters. Wasn't easy to put together, ladies and gentlemen, but let's give it a go.
Five.
Number five. Look, the last place, difficult to give to just one, because, you know, there's not much else room. So I'm giving it as a tie to the Yip Yip Martians and Mr. Snuffleupagus. Now, if you are having trouble remembering what the Yip Yip Martians are, they're the remember the it was like the telephone sketch, and they were like a purple and or pink and a blue monster, and they, you know, bring. Anyway, that's them. And Mr. Snuffleupagus, of course, Big Bird's best friend. Oh, I don't know. As a child, even as an adult, I just want to give Snuffy a big cuddle. He looks very cuddly. I don't know. Is that the right word? Let's move on to number four.
Four.
Oscar the Grouch. Now, as a child, I didn't quite understand Oscar. Wasn't a favorite of mine. But now, as an adult, yeah, I can relate to Oscar a lot more than I did as a child.
Three.
Ernie and Bert. Now, I know that's two, but technically you can't have one without the other. So that's why in number three, I am giving number third position of the top five Sesame Street characters on this TTMS list to Ernie and Bert, which takes us to
two.
Grover, the cute furry blue monster Grover. His sketch, comedy sketch scenes with Fats Blue. I can't even think of his real name, the puppet's real name. You know, the cafe scenes where he brings the wrong order. How could you not love Grover? And, of course, number one.
One.
Oh, it was a very big drum roll. Big Bird! Big Bird is in the number one position of the Troy Murphy Show's top five Sesame Street characters as we celebrate International Sesame Street Day, along with World Top Up Day and National Vanilla Cupcake Day. So tomorrow though, keep this in mind, we celebrate World Singles Day, where we are encouraged to practice self-love and self-appreciation and encouraged to treat ourselves. And when I say ourselves, I put my hand up, I'm in the singles category. Treat ourselves to a shopping spree or a vacation, or go on a date with your unattached friends. I think I might just go shopping, it's a lot easier. Now, it's been a crazy week. There is so much jam-packed into this week's show. I don't think I'm going to be able to fit it all into a one-hour show, ladies and gentlemen tuning in at home. But a quick look at some of the news stories that broke this week that might be of interest. Firstly, some in-house news. The studios now have their own emails. So studio@2ssr.com.au. You can email your favorite presenters anytime while they are live on the radio by emailing studio@2ssr.com.au. You email us, we get it. If it's okay, we'd read it on there. Or we'd just be grateful for sending an email. Christmas has been ruined, according to some news services, as Apple says iPhone customers will be hit with lengthy delays as its virus-ravished plant in China descends into chaos. Chaos, I tell you. The tech giant is expecting lower shipments of high-end iPhone 14 models following a huge drop in production levels due to a massive COVID outbreak at its factory in Zhengzhou. Probably butchered the pronunciation of that. All my best and health wishes to the poor people who might be suffering there in China with their latest bout of COVID. But sad news for those who want an iPhone 14 for Christmas. You might not be getting it. Other news, signing Santas. Deaf and hard of hearing kids will soon be able to interact with an Auslan Santa at select shopping centres across Australia. Deaf Australia and Westfield have teamed up to launch a trial of Auslan, Australian Sign Language, fluent Santas at three centres across Queensland, New South Wales and Victoria. All bookings will be hosted as private sessions and will have helpers and interpreters on hand to facilitate. How exciting is that? Qantas got roasted. Qantas has topped Choice's 2022 Shonky Awards list, being called out for a series of alleged failings, including unusable credits, delayed flights, lost baggage, and lengthy call wait times. Described as the spirit of disappointment by Choice, Australia's national airline was slammed by the consumer advocacy group as a company that appeared to be deliberately going out of its way to win a Shonky Award. And a news story that just seems to be a news story every day of the week, Elon Musk's Twitter. Here's a quick recap of where we are up to with this bouncy ball of Elon Musk taking over Twitter. Originally, he was going to sell a subscription to get a blue tick of happiness for $20 a month. Changed his mind, made it $8. People are still doing backflips in disappointment. He promised everyone check marks, but then changed his mind and delayed it till after the US midterm elections. He fired half of the staff, then changed his mind, realizing that he actually needs them and has asked a lot of them to come back. And strangely, he booted comedian Kathy Griffin off Twitter for impersonating him. He said that all parody accounts need to label themselves as such. Twitter. Replacing the dumpster fire that was the year 2020. And, oh, were you one of the lucky ones to go see British pop singer Dua Lipa in concert in Sydney this week? Oh, my goodness. You know, even though we are a talk show here at the Troy Murphy Show, if we were to ever play music and popular music from today, we'd definitely be playing a little bit of Dua Lipa.
Touchdown brings me round again to find if you're over.
Oh, how good is she? Did you know that you are not allowed to eat whilst driving? I did not know that. Well, we now do know that. We know that you can't be on your phone to drive, but in Queensland's Transport and Main Roads Department reminded people of the law of Tuesday this week. With a lot of people commenting, being in outrage, saying that they had no idea that you could not consume food or drink while driving. Turns out that the little known Australian road rule that almost everyone has unknowingly broken at some point by eating or drinking can cost drivers up to $600. And it's not just a financial punishment, but you get 3 points deducted from your demerit points. That's in Queensland. The same goes for drivers in WA, with drivers forced to fork out $600 if they should commit the offence. In New South Wales, drivers caught eating and drinking can be fined $469 and 3 demerit points. I eat all the time. I hope there's no cops listening, because I eat all the time. They're just going to follow me around and I'll be their monthly paycheck. What else are you going to do while I drive? Apart from driving, of course. But, you know, it's nice to have a snack. Northern Territory, there's a $150 fine for careless driving, which eating or drinking while driving can be considered. South Australia drivers can be fined $201 for not having proper control of their vehicle, with the same offence in the ACT costing $301. Eating or drinking whilst driving in Tasmania could lead to a $173 fine and 3 demerit points. Well, doesn't that take a bite out of the news this week? In other news, we're living longer. According to new data from the Australian Bureau of Statistics, figures released this week say that life expectancy is up. The data suggests that a girl born in 2021 could expect to live to 85.4 years of age, up several months on the pre-pandemic figure, and males were expected to live to 81.3 years, with a similar increase. Women still doing it better than men, living longer. The ABS noted that Australia was one of the few countries to show an increase in life expectancy since COVID hit, and had the third highest life expectancy in the world behind Monaco and Japan. Now, the US life expectancy has dropped to its lowest since 1996, plunging 2.7 years between 2019 and 2021, while in the 2020 pandemic led to the biggest year drop in life expectancy in England since figures were first collected in 1981. So probably not a good place to be in the United States or the UK. Speaking of the UK, the American midterms were this week. A quick look. Well, it's actually still happening. There's still some counting going on, and there is a few states where we're not going to know for a while who's running the joint or whatever. Quick look. It was expected. We heard, if you follow global politics, the media were constantly saying that, you know, it's going to be a red tsunami. I mean, a red wave. It ended up being a red trickle of the American midterms, where there was expected a massive change of the influence in the US House of Representatives from blue to red. It only ended up being a slight itsy-bitsy change, where in reality, you know, it should have been massive. It was expected. All sides were expecting a red wave. Because, well, the US Democrats under Joe Biden are a little bit under the nose. Much like what's happening here in Australia and around the globe, inflation is soaring, cost of living is going up, petrol is, or gas as they like to call it, that's going up, cost of living is going up, climate issues. You know, I think the general rule of thumb for most US voters is stability, and they don't have that at the moment, especially with crime numbers also on the rise. People in the US are hurting, and statistically and generally when that happens, governments are punished. But why did this not happen in the US for the midterms? Now, I'm not a political expert. I haven't studied it. I haven't done any courses to say I'm certified, but I'm a good observer. And I have observed that this is all on the back of Trump. And, well, despite Biden really being on the nose for the American people, Trump is worse. The left don't like him, and clearly enough of the right don't like him either. He was unstable, erratic, chaotic, and even though he got some stuff done, now in a time of global instability with war, climate issues, cost of living, I think, you know, as I said before, US voters want a little bit of stability, and, well, they can get that from a guy who falls upstairs as opposed to an erratic orange man. And I think Trump knows this too, because prior to the midterms, he said this.
Well, I think if they win, I should get all the credit. And if they lose, I should not be blamed at all, okay? But it'll probably be just the opposite. When they win, I think they're going to do very well. I'll probably be given very little credit, even though in many cases I told people to run. And they ran, and they turned out to be very good candidates. You know, they've turned out to be very good candidates. But usually what would happen is when they do well, I won't be given any credit. And if they do badly, they will blame everything on me.
Yeah. These candidates that he told to run, well, most of them did terribly. And of course he should be blamed if the Republicans did poorly, because he has been tippy-toeing for so long about whether or not he will run for president in 2024. You know, it's created uncertainty for card-carrying Republicans who don't want him back as president. Now, of course, you know, he has his fan base, but clearly they're not in the numbers to win him a presidency. And now we know that they're not enough to create a red wave in the midterm elections. Now, how does America get a red wave? Well, I'm sure most people don't want America to get a red wave, but if we were to look at how it happens, Trump has to step aside and let the very successful Ron DeSantis take lead of the Republican Party. It won't happen, though. Trump's ego is far too large, and it's almost to the point where he needs to lose a second time for him to need to vanish into non-existence of the political world. But he has teased an announcement sometime next week on whether or not he will run for president in 2024. And this is where I am in a personal struggle, ladies and gentlemen. You know, apart from not being American, so it doesn't directly affect me, part of me, the majority of me hope, well, no, just part. Let's just say a part, let's be honest. Part of me hopes that he doesn't run for president. But a huge part of me, who made a lot of money as a Trump impersonator when he was president, having, and also, you know, doing videos and guest appearances and being on American late night talk shows to perform as Trump, that part of me desperately wants him to run again and wants him to win. So whilst I know what's right, I also have a very, very clear financial bias that has influence on my judgment, and I'm not ashamed to admit that out loud. But at least you know where I stand on this one. Back home to discuss the Medibank hack, where customer data allegedly stolen from health insurer Medibank Private has been posted on the dark web by Russian hackers after the company refused to pay the ransom. The ransomware group have posted the details of hundreds of Australian customers so far under a good list and a naughty list. That sounds a little bit like Santa, don't you think? Customers have been urged to remain vigilant as their data might be published online and the hackers may attempt to contact them directly. You are being warned if you are a Medibank Private customer to replace your card through the MyGov website, and to be on alert for phishing scams via phone, post, or email, and ensure that you have make sure that you verify any communication to ensure that is legitimate. If you have any concerns that your identity has been compromised, or if you have been a victim of a scam, to contact your bank immediately or call ID Care on 1-800-222-222. 9595160. That was a very, very, very long intro to the show, so let's get straight into it.
It seems today that all you hear is music on the radio and murder on podcasts. But where are those good old-fashioned talk shows on which we used to rely? Lucky there's a Troy Murphy show. Lucky there's a man who positively can do all the things that make us tune in live.
Indeed it is, ladies and gentlemen. Ponder this. Your shadow is confirmation that light has travelled nearly 93 million miles unobstructed, only to be deprived of reaching the ground in the final few feet, thanks to you.
You're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
Easy, miss. I've got you.
You've got me! Who's got you?
On 2SSR FM 99.7.
Let's take a moment to be serious here on the Troy Murphy Show as we take a look at the latest update with COVID. Now, I know some of you probably rolling your eyes wondering, why on earth is he talking about COVID? It's over, blah, 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 blah. But in reality, we are learning to live with it. And part of learning to live with it is not burying our heads in the sand and keeping an eye on potential developments as they happen, which is what we're doing today. Although it could be a little bit of a beta, but you know, we'll still report on it anyway, because that's what responsible media does. A news report published this week by Seven News has warned that a new wave of COVID-19 could put many Christmas plans at risk this year, with a variant soup, I'll say that inverted commas, of virus strains have been detected in the country. Chief Medical Officer Professor Paul Kelly has warned that the grandchildren of Omicron are here as cases of the virus rise in Australia, and that could put many Christmas plans at risk this year. Let's take a listen to what he said.
Compared with where we were 12 months ago, where we hadn't seen Omicron at all, this is another variation on Omicron, the grandchildren of Omicron, if you like. Okay. There's a couple of different variants. They are more transmissible, but not more severe. We've seen these same variants go through other countries, particularly Singapore most recently. They had a very quick, sharp wave of cases, but not a lot else, and then they've moved on. Okay. And I think that's probably where we'll be. We have very high hybrid immunity at the moment from both previous infection and vaccine, and so we're in a good place.
In a good place. The grandchildren of Omicron. Highly infectious, but not likely to lock us down. Then again, we would never, ever go into lockdown again. No government in their right mind would do that socially nor economically ever again. Not after all the information that has been released with claims that lockdowns did more damage than good. So for those keeping up with the bouncy ball that is COVID strains, what we're looking out for now is COVID strains BQ, which is an offshoot of BA5 and XBB, which has been causing problems in Singapore and India. BQ and XBB, which sounds more like robots from Star Wars than strains of virus. But anyway, moving on. That does lend the question, though, how are we doing with COVID here in the Sutherland Shire? For those who are part of the many, many great Sutherland Shire community groups on Facebook, especially Anything Sutherland Shire, you may remember the COVID graphics I was producing daily to keep us all informed throughout the pandemic, the 2 years. And now back on radio, let's take a look and see how the reports say we're doing with COVID this week here in the Shire. Now, of course, these numbers, reporting of these numbers is no longer mandatory. Sorry, reporting of individuals reporting whether they have COVID from the RAT test is no longer mandatory in New South Wales. So these numbers are not 100% accurate, but just a fraction of what the numbers are likely to be. So a quick glance at the numbers. They have started to double this week from last week. This week we've had 466 new reported cases here in the Shire, with 63 new cases reported today. Now, to check the suburbs, 2224, Kangaroo Point, Sylvania, Sylvania Waters. 4 new cases reported today. That's 28 this week. Oyster Bay, 2225. 0 cases today, but 13 this week. 2226. Bonnet Bay, Como and Denali. 5 new cases reported this week. Total of 35 this week. Gaimere Bay, postcode 2227. 3 today, 25 this week. Miranda and Yowie Bay, 2228. 6 new cases reported today and 44 this week. Carringbar South, Dolans Bay, Lillipilli, Port Hacking and Tarrant Point of the postcode 2229. 9 new cases reported today, 59 this week. Burraneer Bay, Burraneer, Cronulla, Main, Bar and Woolooware, 2230. 4 new cases today, 52 this week. And Kurnell, lovely Kurnell, 2231. 0 cases today, 0 this week. Grays Point, Kurila, Kurui, Loftus, Sunderland and Warrenora, 2232. 9 today, 64 this week. Engadine, Heathcote, Waterfall, Warrenora Heights and the Yarra Warra, 14 today, so 78 this week. And Alfred's Point, Bangor, Barton Ridge, Illawong, Lucas Heights, Menai, 2234. 9 new cases today with 68 cases reported total this week. Engadine, Heathcote, Waterfall, Warrenora Heights, Yarra Warra, the postcode with the worst number of active cases this week, with Kurnell, as always, because no one lives there, the least active cases of active reported COVID-19 infections, with Oyster Bay being the second least active cases reported for COVID-19 this week. Of course, this data that was sourced by New South Wales Health and the New South Wales government is only accurate based on those who report their positive test of which registering your positive results from rapid antigen test is no longer mandatory, but it is advised as it not only helps you access medical support from New South Wales Health, including antiviral medications, but it also helps the state monitor COVID infections.
The Troy Murphy Show presents 30 Seconds of Calm. Show. Driving you home Thursday nights on 2SR FM 99.7.
2SR can help you promote your business with an innovative and inexpensive marketing plan. Our in-house team will help you design a campaign, voice the audio, and give it the professional production values you need. To find out more, call us on 9545 1800 or email info@2sr.com.au to organise a talk with our experienced marketing team.
The Open House Mix.
Monday morning feels so bad.
The best songs from then and now. The Open House Mix with Scotty. Open House Mix.
The best songs from then and now.
Total eclipse of the heart.
The Open House Mix.
The best songs from then and now.
Sunday mornings from 9.
9.7 to SRFM.
It's time now for Sutherland Shire local news.
In this bulletin, Sutherland Entertainment Centre has a new outdoor concert area. Kids can sit with Santa again, and a new plant series found in the Sutherland Shire. The revamped Sutherland Entertainment Centre is being wired up to support outdoor concerts and events. Sutherland Shire Council has revealed that this $41 million centre, which will be called the Pavilion, is coming to completion. A Sutherland Shire Council spokesman said key milestones were continuing to be met with major structural and weatherproofing complete, with work now focusing on fit-out and finishes. With the holiday season just around the corner, children will once again be able to sit next to Santa instead of sit next to Santa, as has been done throughout the pandemic. Parents can still opt for children to be on a separate seat close by, but there will be, of course, options for people to have photos with Santa, as well as photos of Santa with people's animals, scaly, furry and feathered pets, and of all shapes and sizes. This is all happening at Westfield Miranda from November 12. The Sutherland Shire Council has announced that it will increase the number of pre-booked household cleanups to 3 a year, which will reduce waiting times from the current average 8-week service time frame to 4 weeks. Also in the news, the Leader is reporting that a new Australian plant species has been found in the Sutherland Shire. The rare grass-like plant with sharp blades grows around Cook's Landing Place in Karame, Botany Bay National Park and the Royal National Park, as well as Manly, but is found nowhere else in Australia. Researchers from the Australian Institute of Botanical Science, which made the announcement, have given the new sword species the name of, oh, and I'm going to butcher this, Lepisodisperma prospectrum. I butchered that. Apologies. The plant species was originally missed by the Endeavour botanist James Banks and Daniel Solander in their collections around Botany Bay in 1770. And that's what's happening in local news.
Now for your traffic and weather together, as we take a look at what's happening around the Shire for your drive home.
Indeed we are. Let's have a quick look at the weather. Tomorrow, Friday, tops of 22 degrees. The weekend, Saturday, tops of 22 degrees. Sunday, tops of 24 degrees. And possible showers developing. Checking out the traffic, what you're reporting on the roads, we have got some police and a car accident on the corner of the Princess Highway and Action Street. Is it Action Street? In Sutherland. Be careful if you are driving that area. We have roadworks on Wandella Road in Miranda, and a pothole has been reported on the Kingsway eastbound near the Port Hacking Road intersection. If you do see any problems with traffic, make sure you phone it through on 95451800.
Crazy and insane-y, it's delirious but brainy, tastes a little gamey, the Troy Murphy Show.
Weird. Unique. It's just like a train wreck, you just can't stop listening.
So tune the radio dial on, Thursday night, 6 from, we're gonna put the ray on, the Troy Murphy Show.
Ponder this, the last 2 years have shown that people can still, well, get work done without wearing pants or shoes.
You're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
She's only interested in you because she thinks you're the chosen one.
But I am the chosen one. Okay, sorry,
On 2SSR FM 99.7.
23 minutes to 7 p.m. Oh, this hour is going very, very fast as we take a look at the weird, wacky, wonderful news from around the world, where you can file this one under as, well, what in the weird? According to an anonymous post on the website Mumsnet, one user has admitted to cleaning their, because I don't know who it is, it's anonymous, so I assume, but I shouldn't assume, the website is Mumsnet. But I won't assume the person's gender, because that's not politically correct in today's day and age. So I'm just going to call them or their. they've admitted to cleaning their toilet brush in the dishwasher every few months. I kid you not. You heard this correctly. The person puts their used dunny brush in the same cleaning device that they put their eating utensils, drinking cups, and cooking instruments. And of course, there was more to the post, where the anonymous postee wrote, "A friend popped in for coffee this morning. I opened the dishwasher to get a couple of mugs, forgetting that I'd put the toilet items in the night before. She totally freaked out, saying it was totally disgusting, and rewashed the mugs that I'd taken out of the cupboard and poured boiling water in them before she would allow me to make her coffee. I don't blame her." I don't blame her. Ladies and gentlemen, that is gross. Toilet stuff does not go near mouth stuff. Not ever. Not even with a hot water bath, steam cleaning and detergents and all that stuff. No. No. Zippity no da. No way, Jose. I don't know. Let's have some fun with this. Jump on the Troy Murphy Show Facebook page. So it's the Troy Murphy Show. Click like and follow. And let us know under the question that we've posted on the page, what's one unique cleaning habit that you have that may raise eyebrows? And I've been trying to think of any cleaning habits that I have that may raise eyebrows, but I live alone, so maybe it's my lack of cleaning habits that would raise eyebrows. I'm joking. I do clean, but I'm a very lazy cleaner to the point where I live in a one-bedroom unit and I have a robot vacuum cleaner and mop that does all the hard work for me because I just can't be bothered. Of course, you can also email us. We have a new email, studio@2ssr.com.au. What is your unique cleaning habit that may raise eyebrows?
Stay tuned. More from the Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Hi, Kirk Pengilly from INXS here. And whether it's music, sweet things, puppies, movies, we all love our treats. But our eyes need treating too. 300,000 Australians, including me, are affected by glaucoma. Diagnosed early, glaucoma can be managed. Left undiagnosed, it can cause blindness. So treat yourself by treating your eyes to a simple test. Book your test at treatyoureyes.org.au today.
It's a long way.
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 It's a long way to the top if you run a sports show.
Hi, this is Stu from Sideline Eyes. Join me every Sunday from 7 p.m. for the best little sports show this side of the Wanny on your favourite station, 2SSR 99.7 FM, Sound of the Sutherland Shire.
From Illawong to Cronulla, the Shire's 2SSR FM.
Ponder this, ladies and gentlemen. Biting your tongue while eating is a perfect example of how you can still mess things up even with decades of experience.
You're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
Hold on to your butt.
On 2SSR FM 99.7.
Let's take a look at politics this week, where the ABC has come under fire from a lone Liberal Senator, Alex Antic, who has called out the ABC and the Australian-born international drag queen celebrity Courtney Act for grooming children by airing a play school special episode where Courtney, a drag queen, reads a children's book about a girl who wears pants. Now, we'll listen to part of the audio from the Senate hearing soon, but to set it up, as we call it here in the biz, you won't often hear me agree or side with Senator Hanson-Young, Green Senator Sarah Hanson-Young. But in this case, I do. That was hard to say. But you see, this is conservative politics stirring the pot, trying to pick something topical to make headlines out of having a stab at the ABC. And I'm calling him Liberal Senator Alex Antic out for his behaviour. Liberal Senator Alex Antic from South Australia asked ABC Managing Director David Anderson why the well-known drag queen read the book on the children's program, suggesting that the ABC was grooming children with this sort of adult content. I'll say that in inverted commas because that's a quote from him. Let's take a listen to the question by the Liberal Senator, Alex Antic, to the ABC Managing Director David Anderson at a Senate hearing.
So I've got a couple of questions about some programming matters. And at the moment, the ABC is airing a program called Courtney Act, The Spectacular Suit, in which a male drag performer, Shane Jenick, reads a children's book called The Spectacular Suits, is it here, about a female child wanting to wear male clothing. The program was rated G, and it's been heavily promoted on TV and on the app. My question is this. Why is the ABC grooming Australian children with this sort of adult content?
Grooming, really? That's your choice of wording? Now, according to the dictionary, grooming is the action of a pedophile of preparing a child for a meeting, especially via the internet, from a chat room, with the intention of committing a sexual offence. And that's what the word he's aligning to a drag queen reading a story to children on the ABC. Now, it was at this point during the hearing that the Greens Senator Sarah Hanson-Young interjected.
So, grooming is a really serious matter. It's not for being played with by conservative senators so that they can make headlines.
That's what grooming looks like.
Oh. Senator, my answer is we are not grooming
Australian
children.
Sexual assault survivors
around this country. I can't hear the answer because Senator Hanson-Young is interjecting. Every other occasion, senators have been reined in.
Senator Hanson-Young.
This is where I agree with Senator Hanson-Young. Not for the interjecting or raising her voice, that's rude, but for calling out the use of the word grooming. Senator Antic did not choose his wording nor his battle correctly. Now, if you haven't seen the Play School Drag Story Time video, it's up on the ABC, and to be honest, I think it's been done tastefully. You know, I will say that there have been some incidences and examples of drag story time around the globe and drag shows intended for children that has been inappropriate and is very questionable. And I say that as a gay man. And these incidences deserve to be called out. But what the ABC did and Courtney Act did was not one of them. Not all are the same. And this is where the ABC Managing Director David Anderson answered Senator Antic's question, ending his bizarre line of questioning.
Oh, I was simply refuting the fact that we're grooming Australian children because we are not grooming Australian children. What we are doing is that is about dressing up. I think
dressing up a cross dress. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this: does the ABC agree that transgenderism and cross dressing are adult concepts?
Senator, there are sure. So yes, when it comes to transgender, yes, you can say that there are people who wish to identify as a sex other than what they were born with, and I think that's okay. But that's not. I don't accept what you're saying about somebody who is trans grooming Australian children. That's not. That whole story time was about dressing up
in the opposite sex clothing.
Which I believe.
I'm not asking the question of you, Chair. I'm asking the question of Mr. Anderson.
Well, I think there's.
We've been doing this for decades.
I think children do dress up, Senator, and I think that a story about dressing up, I think, is acceptable.
Do you think this sort of content is contributing to the gender dysphoria problem in this country?
One, I don't see a gender dysphoria problem. What I see is a very set of complex issues that exist within Australian society. So I don't think that anything is. I don't think we're generating anything. I think, if anything, the ABC reflects what is happening in the Australian community at the time.
And for that, what percentage of Australian children are getting read to by people dressed like this, men dressed like this?
So I think what is. Senator, I'm not going to give you. I don't have the audience data right now with regard to that, but what we have is a story about dressing up and about kids dressing up.
Okay, all right.
Look, the Liberal Senator is just barking up the wrong tree or dress or pair of pants here in order to make a name for himself and get his name in the media, which he has succeeded, but for the wrong reason. Look, I find it gross that he accused the ABC of grooming when there are actual issues and incidences of grooming out there that his time would be better directed towards rather than, well, having a cheap and easy dig at the ABC.
The Troy Murphy Show presents 30 Seconds of Calm. The Troy Murphy Show. Driving you home Thursday nights on 2SSR FM 99.7.
Tune your cares away. Let's look at the news for another day from 6 PM Thursday. It's a Troy Murphy Show. Listen your cares away, to an opinion like no other, okay, from 6 PM Thursday, it's a Troy Murphy Show. Tune your cares away, let's look at the news for another day, from 6 PM Thursday, it's a Troy Murphy Show, it's a Troy Murphy Show.
It's the Troy Murphy Show.
Ponder this! Even though our fingers are different lengths, they line up when you curl all your fingers in. Give it a go.
You're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
I know what you're thinking. Did he fire six shots or only five? Well, to tell you the truth, in all this excitement, I've kind of lost track myself. But Ian, this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
On 2SSR FM 99.7.
I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I have absolutely no idea where the last hour has gone. We've got 8 minutes until the top of the hour, which, of course, Lauren, with a league of her own, is coming up next, talking all things women's sport. There were so many things I wanted to talk about tonight, including sport, including the World Cup, the Soccer World Cup, but maybe we'll just have to put all that online. But a few things. Look, as we wrap up the show, There are a heap of things that I wanted to talk about that I'll try and squeeze into this last 8 minutes. Starting with, did you know an expert on TikTok? And I know someone's not an expert because they, you know, it's an oxymoron to call someone an expert on TikTok. But anyway, they were saying that underwear should be thrown out every 6 to 12 months and not when the elastic has snapped in them. In fact, a Google search of, you know, when you type into the Google search bar, how often should you keep underwear, or how often should you keep your underwear, comes up with the answer every 6 to 12 months. Google it yourself. And it is quoted in the article. If you look after your underwear properly, you can extend its life expectancy. However, as a general rule, underwear should be replaced every 6 to 12 months, depending on the level of soiling. You may want to also consider upgrading as soon as every 3 months to avoid excessive bacteria buildup. This comes from a May 2022 article published in Body and Soul Australia. Now, this is where I read this and I thought, you know what, I'm not going to let this go. I'm going to investigate more. So I put my little investigating hat on and I dug deeper, because that's what we do here at the Troy Murphy Show. We dig deeper. We don't just trust surface level information. We look further. On further investigation, the quote comes from a doctor. So there's some cred there. Not sure what she has a doctorate in. It didn't quite say that, just said doctor. But she is a doctor who is the owner, get this, of a lingerie brand. So of course she's going to say replace your underwear every 6 to 12 months because she's got to boost those sales somehow, doesn't she? And the poor people at Body and Soul either deliberately published her article because, you know, a little bit of money under the table in advertising dollars, or they were not silly enough to see through the truth. Now, of course, there might be some truth to that, changing your underwear, you know, keeping everything fresh down there. But I don't know about you. I definitely do not wear underwear. Well, hold on, let me rephrase that, because I definitely do wear underwear. I don't replace my underwear every 3 to 6 months. Like, it's a couple of years. In fact, I know I have underwear. And, you know, because we all have favourite underwear. I don't know about you. Maybe I'm speaking for myself here. But I'm pretty sure we all have a favourite pair of underwear that we keep forever. And maybe it's a bloke thing. Could be just a bloke thing. But, you know, I have underwear that's probably a decade or old. Don't wear it as much. Well, I don't really wear it. I just keep it in the back of the underwear drawer because it's my favourite pair of underwear from when I was skinny. Yeah, one day hoping that I might fit back into it before the moths get to it. But anyway, moving on. Did you know that coffee is a tool for survival? How's this for an advertisement for the benefits of drinking coffee? Not only does it wake you up, taste good, and keep you motivated throughout the day and pick you up when you suffer from 3:30-itis, but it can also keep you alive for up to 9 days. As two South Korean miners survived on instant coffee for 9 days. Yes, on the 26th of November, in the northeast region of Bonghua. I butchered that pronunciation, but let's move on. The zinc mine that they were working in collapsed. Not knowing how long their ordeal would last, the two brave men pitched a tent, brewed some instant joe, and settled in. And that they did for 9 days until they were rescued. Probably not appropriate to use on the as an advertisement for coffee, though. But, you know, next time you have a cup of instant coffee, you know that you are indeed drinking a cup of life. A cup of life, indeed. But in weird news, not weird, sad news, strange news, chronic pain sufferers have criticised proposals to impose further restrictions on the sale of paracetamol, saying that the move would disadvantage millions of Australians. The Therapeutic Goods Administration will meet next week to consider limiting supermarket purchases of the painkillers to 2 packs per person and restricting sales to over 18s, following the recommendation of an independent expert on rising rates of intentional paracetamol overdose. That will be something we follow closely. Indeed. You know the global movement of climate protesters? You know, those crazy zany people who throw stuff at art and glue themselves to things? Well, it's inevitably arrived down under. Of course it has. We're always a little bit late, you know. The sheep will always follow. A climate action protester has glued her hand to a historical painting inside Parliament House to protest fossil fuel subsidies. Look, no matter how much you believe in your cause or how true your cause is, destroying property that is not yours, especially irreplaceable art, not cool. Not cool at all. You know, I'm not one for hard criminal punishment, but someone somewhere has to set an example. Lock these art-destroying protesters up and throw away the key. Some good news this week for foster carers and children in the foster care system. The New South Wales government is bringing its foster care rules into line with the rest of the country. Young people in the system will be supported for an extra 3 years until they turn 21, with state funding for a child to live in a foster home in New South Wales is currently only until they turn 18. So good on the New South Wales government for doing that. Did you see also in the news, as we've got about a minute to go, our former Prime Minister Tony Abbott has suggested that teens who have just finished high school should do mandatory military service. Great idea in theory. I highly support it, but with today's youth, I'll give it a week before some idiot accidentally TikToks national secrets to the world. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, that's the show for this week. Keep your radio tuned to 99.7 FM, as up next, it's A League of Her Own with the wonderful Lauren Hodgson. I'll be back next week from 6 p.m, and you can join me all week on the Troy Murphy Show Facebook page for continued conversation. Until next week, bye for now.